ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनः शृण्वन्नोति विस्सेदसादनम् शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ लेट् अस् रीड् दीस् मन्त्रास् फस्ट् लेट् अस् रीड् फ्रम् मन्त्रा नम्बर् 19 प्राणादिभिरनन्तैस्तु भावैरेतैर्विकल्पितः मायैषा तस्य देवस्य ययायं मोहितः स्वयम् प्राणैति प्राणविदो भूतानीति च तद्विदः गुणा इति गुणविदः तत्त्वानीति च तद्विदः तत्त्वानीति च तद्विदः पादा इति पादविदो विषया इति तद्विदः लोका इति लोकविदो देवा इति च तद्विदः वेदा इति वेदविदो यज्ञा इति च तद्विदः भोक्तेति च भोक्तृविदो भोज्यमिति च तद्विदः सूक्ष्म इति सूक्ष्मविदः स्थूल इति च तद्विदः मूर्त इति मूर्तविदो अमूर्त इति च तद्विदः काल इति कालविदो दिश इति च तद्विदः वादा इति वादविदो भुवनानीति तद्विदः मन इति मनोविदो बुद्धिरिति च तद्विदः चित्तमिति चित्तविदो धर्माधर्मो च तद्विदः पञ्चविंशक इत्येते षड्विंश इति चापरे एकत्रिंशक इत्याहुः अनन्त इति चापरे लोकान् लोकविदः प्राहुः आश्रमा इति तद्विदः स्त्रीपुन्नंसकं लैङ्गाः स्त्रीपुन्नंसकं लैङ्गाः परा परमथा परे वि आर् सीयिङ्ग् दिस् वैधत्य प्रकरणम् आफ् माण्डुक्य उपनिषत् वेर् गौडपादाचार्य इस् एस्टाब्लिशिङ्ग् द मिथ्यात्वम् आफ् द युनिवर्स् एनिथिङ्ग् एक्स्पीरियन्स्ड् is mithya for the entire the world of objects is mithya being an object of experience. Even the experiencer, the subject also, the experiencer status also is mithya. Experiencer swarup alone is satyam. The status also is mithya. Like how, when we talk about the illumination of the opaque objects, the opaque objects which borrow their existence from the illumining light are mithya. The illumination is mithya. The illuminator, all the status also is mithya. The sorupam of the illuminator, the light alone, is satyam. Here also, the entire jagrat prapanchaha, swapna prapanchaha, or the karana prapanchaha, the entire cosmos, the manifest or the unmanifest, this universe, being an object of experience, it has no independent experience outside of the experiencer. Therefore, the entire experienced universe is mithya. And here, what is satyam then? The objective universe is mithya. The subject alone is satya means, the subject also, how do we say? The knower, the experiencer is satyam, when we say. The experiencer status also is mithya. The truth of the experience alone is satyam, which is consciousness, chaitanyam, which is the atma. That has been established earlier. And here now he is again re-establishing the mithyatvam of this universe. And here, how this universe is mithya, how do we arrive at it? We saw in the previous verses. This universe, which appears to be real, enjoys this status, enjoys this reality, which is relatively real. It's a relative reality. It is not a non-existent thing. It's not unreal. This universe is not unreal, but nor is it absolutely real. It is as though real, it is relatively real. But it's relatively real means it borrows its existence, borrows reality from the satyam. And this universe, in fact, when you say anything which is mithya, relatively real, the relative reality, the mithya, is as good as non-existent. So that which is as good as non-existent, that which is relatively real, is mistaken for the absolute reality. It is absolutely real. It is this perception of error in a perception of this mithya universe being mistaken to be the absolutely real universe is the cause of our unhappiness and sorrow problems. Therefore, the perception of the universe has to change. This universe is not absolutely real. It is only relatively real, which means it is as good as non-existent. It is not there. Which means, if it is as though means, then what is this satyam? Because in it, mithya does not have independent existence of its own. What is the satyam then? The satyam is none other than, satyam is the reality, is another than the Brahman, which is one's own swarupam, one's own self. Therefore, the author presented for us the truth of the swarupam of the subject. The knower is the satyam. There is no other satyam. So in the wake, as long as you do not see the satyam, the mithya appears to be real. Relatively real mithya appears to be absolutely real. Once you see the satyam, the mithya will resolve. Mithya means what? Mithya will not be absolutely real. Mithya will lose its existence, in fact. If you see, you will see only satyam alone. Mithya is nothing but appearance of the satyam. There is no such a thing called mithya independently, separately, apart from satyam. For which we saw the example of the Gaudapacharya gave this example. In the wake of, there is a rope, the rope, and when you see the rope in bright light, there is no fear. And when you see the, when in utter darkness, when you do not see the rope at all, there is also no fear. But when only in dim light, in semi-darkness, you see the rope, you do not see the rope as a rope. When you mistake the rope for a rope snake, the snake, it is the perception of the erroneous perception of the snake. By mistaking the rope for a snake, the mistake in your perception causes fear. The real snake is, there's no real snake, therefore snake is not the cause for your fear. Nor is it, understand, therefore, it is the perception of the snake which causes the fear. It is not the snake which causes the fear. Big difference is there, isn't it? It is the perception. Therefore, for you to remove the fear, all that you need is you need to change your perspective, isn't it? The perspective change is what is required, not the driving away of the snake. Because snake need not be, cannot be driven away, chased away. All that you need, the perspective change alone is required. What is the perspective change? That there is no snake at all. It is this knowledge, you know. For you to see that, you need to see the rope. So seeing what is alone will help you resolve your error in your perception, and which in fact will resolve along with the snake. Snake caused fear also will resolve. And once in the wake of the knowledge of the rope snake resolves. There is no rope snake at all. Do you see the rope snake after seeing the rope? Can you see? After seeing the rope, you cannot see the rope snake. When the rope snake is not there, will there be fear sitting separately? No. So the fear resolves, the rope snake resolves, rope alone is. What is rope? Advayam, a secondless rope, non-dual rope, alone will be there, in which you have resolved the snake, rope snake, and rope snake caused fear. Similarly, in this, when in the wake of knowledge of the self also, which knowledge of the self means what here? The knowledge, half knowledge, the knowledge I am, which the human beings alone are blessed with, when this knowledge becomes total knowledge, complete knowledge, when you know what you are, when you understand the sarupam of the I, the truth of the I, the content of the I, then the very I resolves in that truth. Just as you can resolve the wave, form and name wave in its truth water, you can resolve the very I in its truth when in the wake of knowledge of what I am, then you resolve the very I. When you resolve the I, the knower status, you resolve this entire cosmos also in the same reality. Okay? As long as there is ignorance of the truth, as long as there is ignorance of the self, ignorance of what I is, so long there is ignorance of the truth, as long as ignorance of the truth is, so long this universe enjoys its what? Reality. The universe is for you. Just as the rope snake enjoys its existence, this universe also enjoys. Universe is. Appears to be real. In the wake of knowledge of the truth as one's own self, a very truthify, you will see in the truth, you will see this whole universe, mithya universe will resolve. Resolve means what? The mithya universe will be as good as non-existent. It is only mithya. It will not be absolutely real. Okay? Then you do not see a second thing other than yourself. Absolutely what is there is only consciousness, secondless consciousness, non-dual consciousness. Okay? Therefore, when this I is resolved in that reality, the consciousness, the secondless non-dual reality consciousness, when the universe also is resolved in that consciousness, everything else is mithya. Chaitanyam satyam, Brahma satyam, Jagan mithya, when you say the entire universe is mithya, the satyam which lends existence to the mithya universe, how can it be affected by the mithya? Therefore, I the satyam am Brahman is what now? Is unafflictable by anything in the universe which is mithya. Isn't it? It is this knowledge, it is not knowledge of the truth as the self. There is no truth other than the self. Aham Brahma Asmi. It is not enough you say there is Brahman. There is reality. The reality is consciousness, Brahman. If you say still there is no jnanam. When the knowledge becomes complete, only when you say, I the self am Brahman, the consciousness, that is when knowledge is complete, that is when really the samsara resolves. Is it clear? Therefore, here specifically, Gaudapada Acharya, in his verse, Karika number 20 to 28, in all these 9 mantras, he presents the different people of different schools of thought, different views, and also even people who are holding on to different disciplines of knowledge as the ultimate truth. There are people, and these different disciplines of knowledge are said to be what? Aparavidya. What is Paravidya? Aham Brahma Asmi. No, I the self am the limitless reality, the consciousness, that knowledge is Paravidya. Isn't it? That vision of the self being Brahman is Paravidya. Everything else, any knowledge, any discipline, including the texts, Upanishad, etc., the Pramana Granthas, they all what now? Aparavidya. Isn't it? So all these different disciplines and different sciences which are aparavidya, which are very useful, okay, here Gaudapada Acharya does not deny their usefulness, does not undervalue them. But when people who are given to the study of different disciplines, they hold on to that particular discipline, getting obsessed with that discipline and claiming that discipline of knowledge as the ultimate truth, is really condemned by Acharya, as a problem. Why? Because when something other than oneself is taken to be the absolute ultimate truth, anything other than oneself is an object. So, if anything other than oneself, if what is taken to be the ultimate is an object, then that is a false thing. It is not appropriate thing. And even there are people who see worship God as an object, for whom God is an object. If the God who is worshipped is an object, then God also is definitely mithya. If it happens to be the object. Therefore, here he presents different people who are all, he calls them, avivekinaha, in the sense confused people. Confused means who are the confused people? The lame, simple, ordinary, you know, ordinary illiterate people can be thoughtlessly confused. They're thoughtlessly confused people who are not much educated, much exposed. So it is natural for them to be confused. So not only there are thoughtlessly confused people, there are highly thoughtfully confused people also. Okay, and here he presents the list of those thoughtfully confused people. And they all have, they're all rishis, rishi status they have got also. Some of them have got rishi status. We are going to see them all. Not ordinary people, they're all rishi status they have. Which means they worked so much, they were so given to so much of thinking, were highly intelligent people, and they are still, even those people are, they're very, very intelligent people, they contributed a lot to the world, and those thoughtfully, highly thoughtful people also go wrong in their concept of truth, and then in their understanding of God as an object. Okay, that's what we saw last. We've been seeing, and I said many people. We saw people. We started with the Dvaitins, and we continued with many people, the materialists, Sankhya philosophers, and we saw so many people. And that case, we came to Kala. We came at 24th mantra, didn't we? Yeah, 25th. Yeah. It is 25th now. Kala iti kala vido.
Kala iti kala vido.
Disha iti cha tadvidaha. Disha iti cha tadvidaha. Vada iti vada vidaha.
Vada iti vada vidaha.
Bhuvanani iti tadvidaha.
Bhuvanani iti tadvidaha.
So here, there are people who take this time factor to be the ultimate truth. Even our physicists nowadays say time is relative, not the absolute. Space is relative, not the absolute. It has been already said. Vedanta Shastram, for Vedanta Shastram, everything is relative. There is no such a thing called time which is absolute. Everything, time is relative, space is relative, all these things which exists within the realm of time and space, they're all relative. What is absolute then? Absolute is I, the truth of I. The subject, the swarupam of the subject, subject alone, the knower alone is satyam, absolute. Everything else other than the knower is what? The known in its entirety is mithya. Is it? But here, there are people who are holding on to this time factor as satyam. Not only that, people who, there's a discipline which is based on the calculation of time and which is called Phala Jyotisham, which is part of Khagola Shastram or Jyotisha Shastram, the astronomy. And they say what now? All this, everything that is happening here is within the, what now, based on planetary positions. Therefore, that is taken to be the ultimate. Of course, astrology, astronomy is a very beautiful science. But it deals with what? The factors within the realm of material, objective world. That is what we have to, for relative problems, for relative solutions, you can use it temporarily, but we should not hold on to it as a solution for the absolute, isn't it, fundamental problem. Is it clear? Therefore, what I seek is very clear. What I seek is everlasting, limitless, time-free sukham, happiness and peace means that is already there, which you cannot attain. You need not change, you not work hard to can tackle the problems caused by the this the planetary positions. You not do anything about it. That is already there. What you're already seeking is already there. That needs to be discovered. That needs to be understood. The discovery of that what you are seeking is already very you, very swarupam of you. It is the knowledge of your swarupam which is required to attain what you want, which is already attained actually. But these things will not solve. If it is very clear, then what is the question of holding on to these things? Which means, you can understand all the astrological predictions, all of them are not useless, but you should not give too much of importance for them. We should not get obsessed with those things. We should not take it as permanent solution. It's not a permanent remedy. That's what he wants to say. Then, kalaha. Then also, disha iti cha tadvidha. So also the directions. Sometimes people, take this, certain directions are very good, certain directions are not good. And also vastu, in India people are crazy nowadays. Where the bedroom should be, kitchen should be, where the hall should be, where the guest room should be, it's all fine. It all works. It's not useless. But we should not get obsessed with those things. Even if we change everything perfectly in keep to the Vastu Shastram, it is very good to sort out certain relative issues. It is good, but it is not going to solve your fundamental problem. I am small, I am inadequate, I am insignificant, I am unhappy, I am a mortal. Having these notions all the time in you, keeping them very locked in a good safe, there's a good locker. Your mind is like a big locker. Unbreakable locker. And in that locker, these are all notions, the gems of notions are sitting very well locked. What are those notions? I am small, I am inadequate, I am unhappy, I am insignificant, I am a mortal. All these notions are there. Keeping them safe here, externally you do all the changes. I'm not saying changing them is not useless. It is very good. We can do, if possible, within possible limits, we can do any changes. But changing those changes, the corrections, in terms of directions and place and how the house should face, where one should sit, etc., where one should sleep, etc., these things will not sort out your fundamental problem. That is what he wants to say. Dishaha iti cha. There are some people who hold on to that one idea of the directions, and they say, all these directions, they are the ultimate. If we take care of these directions and etc., the problem is connected to the directions and everything will be sorted out. If they think, which means for they are dependent on this correction of these places, etc., for their happiness. Understand? Then, vadaha iti vadavidaha. And not only vadaha here means stands for different belief systems. Lots of people have lots of other sciences also, like gemology, numerology, and there's so many ologies, isn't it? There's so many. The psyche, lots of things people believe. So different belief system people have, and holding on to them and seeking solution, remedy for their problem, external belief systems, isn't it? It's called vadaha. So vadaha iti vadavidaha, bhunani iti cha tadvidaha, and also all these 14 worlds are there and they're all real. And going to higher lokas, avoiding this lower lokas will be a solution for our problem. There are people who think for them, all these 14 worlds are real, because Veda talks about these worlds. Veda talks about, they do not see. Veda talks, certain things they hold on to these things. What is the most important thing that Veda reveals? That they forget. Veda anta part they forget. They don't even go. They hold on somewhere in Veda. Veda talks about these 14 worlds. Because Veda says they hold on to these 14 worlds. And then for them that becomes the ultimate. Therefore, the Bhuvanani Chadvidaha. Then Mana iti Mano Vidaha. I think from here we have to do. Mana iti Mano Vidaha. Buddhi iti Tadvidaha. Manaha also I said last class, I think. Manaha, the psychologists, you know, talk very beautifully of all the psychological problems, including childhood issues, etc., how they surface at later age when you grow much older, and how they, listen, this is unresolved childhood issues always later on surface when they are triggered by given similar situations. And that is why that person is not, people are not able to handle their present situations, not because they can't get rid of it. It is because of something the old. They, you know, even if you, the other person wants to forget, this person continues again, holds on to the same thing. This has happened, this has happened, this has happened. They told me something like this, that leave it, it's okay, what's the big deal? No, no, they told me something, this told me something. This goes on and on and on. It's all childhood. See, whenever any problem comes, any hurt comes, anything comes, if you are able to forget it immediately or after some time, I tell you, it's a boon, blessing. We always, with this lingering pain, isn't it? You continue to brood over the situation. That is the worst thing. That is how the people travel with this, with their tickets. You know, the people who respond for our hurt, you think, and the people or pets or friends or enemies, they all the time we carry with us in our minds because of this lingering issues. Now, what we're saying, the psychological problem, they analyze so beautifully. Psychology, the psychiatry, etc., is a beautiful science. It helps. Okay? Therefore, they can explain to you why you have psychological problems. But even though they explain, their explanations of your problems we can sort out it temporarily, but it will not solve what your fundamental problem, which is the cause of all these problems. See, it is like, sorting out any problem is good, but make any effort to sort out any physical, psychological problems is good enough, good, but we should stop with that. That's what he wants to say. Why? Because sorting out our other physical, emotional, psychological problems, etc., is only like taking care of the symptoms of the disease. That is good. We have to do that. But we should stop with that. We have to understand what is the, there is a disease because of which the symptoms are there. And what is the cause of the disease because of which these symptoms are there. That cause has to be removed. And that cause, is not here. That is what Gaudapada Acharya repeats here. Hope you are getting it, isn't it? Then, mana iti mano vidaha, buddhir iti buddhadvidaha. Again, these yogachara bodhas, the Buddhists, for whom the fleeting cognitions, buddhi here means the cognitions which keep coming and going, this fleeting, the arriving, departing cognitions, thoughts, vritti jnanams, are the ultimate for them. For them, there is no consciousness. There is no Atma other than these fleeting cognitions. Therefore, for them, the consciousness is also fleeting for them. Therefore, this is fleeting consciousness, they say. They mistake this cognition for the fleeting consciousness. They say it is the reality. So, they have their own view. Then, chitta miti chitta vidha, and people who really value the memory. It is all our memory alone governs our life, present life. Memory. every present situation is governed by my past memory. Your memory is ultimate. So the people hold on to the particular. Of course, it is not denied. There is something called memory. But you know, analyze the memory. Understand what memory is all about. That is very important, very good also. But analysis of the memory, understanding memory will not solve your actual problem. Isn't it? Chitta vidaha, dharma adharma uche tadvidaha. These people are also, there is a group of people who are astikaha. You know, astikaha means people who believe in the Shastra, Veda. The nastikaha who do not accept Veda as a pramana. So this astikaha who believe in Veda, there is a group of people. Even the Vaidikas, that's why Vaidikas are thoughtfully confused people. Vaidikas mean the people, Vaidikas, they believe in Veda, and these people believe in what? The Vedic teaching. What is the Vedic teaching here? Dharmaha, adharmaha, punya papam. Okay? We do right actions, we accumulate punyam. We do wrong actions, we accumulate papam. And this accumulation of punya papas are what? The ultimate. Okay? Therefore, accumulate this dharma, adharma is what? Dharma, adharma is the ultimate for them. If dharma, adharma is there, if your actions are in conformity with dharma, that is true, it's the right action, you accumulate punyam, which will be translated into future pleasure, and the present papam will be translated into future pain also, that is true. So pain and pleasure which you experience in your life are nothing but translations of your own punya papa you accumulated as a result of right and wrong action. That is true. But how long are you going to continue like this? Isn't it? You have to understand, sir, all the time trying to do the right or avoiding the wrong actions will only help you to accumulate more and more of punya. Does not mean you are going to completely undo the papam and then you have only punyam. Just, it is called, just, you know, it being ethical alone is not enough, isn't it? Knowing dharma is everything, dharma adharma is everything. No. This is not the solution. So, very important to understand dharma and adharma. To live according to the knowledge of dharma, dharma, but that itself is not enough. Understand? Which means one has to, it's all within the realm of what? Dharma, adharma, or within the realm of objective world only. We are interested in the truth which is free from both dharma and adharma. Therefore, similarly here, panchavimshaka ityete. Now we go to the next one. Panchavimshaka ityeke. Shadvimsha iti chapare. Vimsha iti chapare. Ekatrimshaka ityahuhu. Ananta iti chapare. Now, there is a Sankhya, group of Sankhya philosophers. For them, there are 25 tattvas. According to them, we don't need to know what those 25 tattvas are. They say this whole cosmos is nothing constituted of these 25 tattvas. Therefore, 25th, analyzing 25 tattvas is the ultimate for them. What the word itself is mithya. And it is all 25 tattvams means, it is analysis of the what? The objective world. Isn't it? See, any enquiry into anything which is within the realm of objective universe is what? Of something which is mithya, analysis of the mithya. So analysis of anything which is within the realm of mithya will lead you to where? Satyam? Only mithya. You will be there only. It will not take you to satyam because satyam is not an object. Satyam is, the subject is satyam. Therefore, the analysis, the search, that everything enquiry should be not be extroverted, it should be returned inwards. It turned to be introverted, isn't it? That's what he wants to say here. Now, Shad Vimsha Iti Cha Aparer. This Pancha Vimsha comments, according to them, there are only 25 tattvas which constitute this universe, and they do not believe in God. They are also Astikaha. Astikaha means what? They are Vaidikaha. They believe in Veda, but they do not believe in God. So, from the, if you say with reference to God, they are atheists. With reference to Veda, they are theists. Believers, no? They believe in Veda, they do not believe in God. Who are these Sankhyas, philosophers? Suppose we have Bauddhas. The Bauddhas do not believe in Veda, do not believe in God also. They are completely atheists. And these are semi-atheists. Why? Semi? Because they believe in Veda. But they do not believe in God. Half theism and half atheism and half theism. Whereas these people, totally atheists, Bauddhas. So now, next, Shadvimsha iticha apare. You know, the Sankhya philosopher is a Kapila, the rishi called Kapila, great Acharya. And here Gaudapada Acharya has the guts to say he is confused. We should not say. Really, I am very soft in saying. What to talk of us, isn't it? He is confused. And not only that, now he, next one, the yoga philosopher. Who's yoga philosopher? My God. Patanjali Rishihi. Patanjali Rishihi, he says he's confused. These yoga philosophers say include one more with the 25. The 25 tattvas they take, they include God, which is not accepted by Sankhya philosopher. Understand? Therefore, they believe Veda, they accept Veda, they accept Bhagavan Ishvara also. Therefore, they are totally theists. But still, for them, where is God? What is God? 25 tattvas are there, God is also there. What did they fail to say? That God I am, I alone am, that they are not able to say. It does not mean yoga philosophy is useless utterly. The yogic disciplines, you know, eightfold angas, they're not useless. They're very good in disciplining the mind. So you can use them as disciplines, very good. But the, you know, if they say there's a God, why? For them, God is an object within the realm of objective world. I am here standing outside, separate from the world, and there's a world in front of me, and a God is object of my worship. So they may say, what about Karmakanda? Doesn't Karmakanda say? Upasana Kanda say? Yes, in Upasana Kandam also, we have object of meditation outside, external to us. In Karmakanda also, we worship devatas. There is, we have objective God. There is no doubt. But Veda, we are not asking you to stop with it. Initially, we should begin our pursuit. How? Having God as an object external to us. And later on, this external worship of objective God should culminate in resolving everything in oneself, in understanding one's own swarupam, being the God. Therefore, here, Shadvimsha iticha apare. Then, Ekatrimshaka Ityahuhu. Ekatrimshaka. There are four types of Shaivas. I don't know which type of Shaivites or Sri Lankan Shaivites, Tamil Shaivites. There are four types of Shaivites. Of them, there is one particular type of Shaivites called Pashupata Shaivaha. Pashupata Shaivam. Kapalika Shaivam, like that we have. The Pashupata Shaivam. One particular sect of Shaivism. And according to they say, Ekatrimshaka, 31, the 31 tattvas, it constitute the world. Pashupata Shaiva Matam. That is why we call them Matam. Matam means what? An opinion. Opined, what has been opined by a given person is becomes opinion, therefore it is matam, a view, a contention. Therefore it is only what now? It is subject to differ. Whereas that fact will not differ from person to person. A fact is either understood or ununderstood. So here, then, ananta iti cha apare, ananta. The truths are in many, many truths. There are some people who simply say there are so many truths, so many factors here. They are not simply able, no, they can't say the truth is just myself. There is only one truth. And that only secondless, non-dual truth is myself. They are not able to say. There are so many truths, so many factors which are the truths here. They are all real for them. In the same way, and go to the last one. Lokan lo, lokan loka vidav prahu.
Lokan loka vidav prahu.
Ashrama iti tadvidah.
Ashrama iti tadvidah.
See, lokaha here means the objects of pleasure, which have been already said, anything which you experience, any object of pleasure which we experience and enjoy is the truth. Why should we say it is not real? We are enjoying it. We derive happiness out of it. Therefore, an object of happiness, an object of pleasure, which is available at a given time, isn't it, is should be taken as the reality. Because you're experiencing it, you're enjoying it. When you're eating ice cream is the truth. When you're eating idli dosa, they're all truths. When you're eating puttu idiyappam, they're truths. When you go for these pizzas, pizza hut, as long as you're sitting there and eating, and then that is, then, which means the objects of pleasures, when you're enjoying, they're all reality. Just be with that. How can you deny that what you're experiencing? Isn't it? See, there are simple people. Not simple people, ordinary. Also, ashramaha iti tadvidaha. And there are some people, you know, the disciplinarians. Now, very important. See, it is very, very important to follow disciplines. And then values. Very important. But what happens? The disciplines disciplines have to be followed in order to prepare our mind to not become mentally pure and steady, so that ultimately we'll be qualified for knowledge, which is moksha, isn't it? Instead, these people, they forget the means, disciplines which are the means, become a mistaken for the ultimate. The disciplinarians, no? For them, discipline is everything. They hold on to that. Like that, there are people who hold on to this. Veda says, what is this? Ashrama dharmas, varna dharmas. No, there's nothing like varna dharmas and ashrama dharmas. பிரம்மச்சரிய வர்ண பிரம்மச்சரிய ஆசிரமஹ கிரஸ்தாசிரமஹ வானப்பிரஸ்தாசிரமஹ ஆசிரமாஸ் ஆர் வெரி இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் அண்ட் ஆசிரம தர்மாஸ் ஆர் இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் வி ஹேவ் டு ஃபாலோ தம் தட் இஸ் தி அல்டிமேட் ஏ ஆல் தீஸ் தர்மாஸ் ஆர் வெரி பியூட்டிஃபுல் தர்மா நோ வி ஹேவ் டு ஃபாலோ தோஸ் தர்மாஸ் இன் ஆர்டர் டு பி குவாலிஃபைட் ஃபார் தி நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் தி ட்ரூத் விச் இஸ் யுவர் செல்ஃப் So you forget the truth and hold on to this ashramas. They really get obsessed with this ashramas and dharmas and ashramas. Leave the ashrama, hold on to the dharma, live it and grow, they'll grow out of it. Follow, grow, then grow out of that. We don't grow, we get in, we fit ourselves there, finished. We don't grow, out of it. That's what I'm saying. This also becomes a problem. Therefore, Varna Dharmaha, and also Ashrama Dharmaha, no Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya. No, I'm a Brahmana, I'm a Kshatriya, I'm a Vaishya. I had to follow these dharmas. Very good. If you are following dharma, varna dharma, you had to follow, no choice. Very, very important to follow one's duties. But this is all the time, following dharma itself is not the ultimate end. By following these varna dharmas, ashrama dharmas, ultimately what should you come to? Should culminate in what? That you miss. If following varna dharma, ashrama dharmas should culminate in the accomplishment of knowledge of the truth as yourself, truth be, isn't it? These are another, they all miss out the truth being one's own self. Which means, what is the important thing he wants to convey here is, we'll see that. Then, stripum napumsaka laingaha. Now we are coming with Pandian grammarians. You know, there are grammarians who get obsessed with the languages and grammar. Not even Tamil people, no. Tamil. Tamil is a beautiful language, most wonderful language. You can study, understand. There is so much of literature, enjoy it. But you should not become fanatics, isn't it? Whether it's Sanskritam or any language for that matter, language is for communication. So, use the language, study the language, understand the grammar. And then there's a lot of, no, we have this gender difference and all that. That's why, stri, napumsaka, there are objects which are of different genders. And the words, in fact, the words belong to three different genders, but they do not really mean the female or male person, isn't it? For example, Deshaha, the country. Deshaha means a place. It's also country. It's a masculine gender word. Not a male person. We say Anguli. Anguli means a finger. It is a feminine word. The feminine gender word, it is not a female person, isn't it? It's the finger of any male or woman, man and woman, is what? Feminine gender word. Like this, we have this different words, having feminine belonging to the three different genders. So this grammar, people who are interested in this languages and grammar, etc., they become obsessed with the languages. See, languages are always for communication, to convey our ideas, to convey our understanding. For mutual understanding of people, we have the languages. So we can study language, we can have proficiency, we can have mastery over languages. And mastery over languages should help in what? Finally, to make our mind, it should contribute for mellowing, softening, or it contribute for our of the mind, preparation of the mind. That's all it can do. isn't it? Any discipline, it is a study of the languages, a study of any sciences, the following of dharmas, all these disciplines will only, what can they do? They only can contribute for mental preparedness, mental purity and steadiness. That in no way it will not remove your ignorance of the truth. It is not going to reveal the truth. Isn't it? Because truth is not this, just the languages, holding, getting obsessed with the languages. Therefore, he mentions them also here. There are some people who hold on to nothing like studying the languages and holding on to this. It's all because people get stuck with what? Intellectual pleasures. Therefore, stripunapumsakam laingaha parapara mathapare. There are people talk about paraparam. Param means absolute Brahman, the karanam. Param means karanam. Apara means karyam. They say this cause and effect are the ultimate. They come very close, but what happens? Still, when you say the cause and the effect are the ultimate truth, when you say constitute the ultimate truth, all that is here is cause and the effects. The cause and the effect are the ultimate truth. If we say, it's also what? Object. Cause also is object, effect also is object, isn't it? What is the truth? The subject, the knower, the experiencer is distinct from the cause and the effect. You know, initially we studied in the first chapter, we read this. Vishwaha. What is the Vishwaha? Is the karyam. Tajasaha is also karyam. It looks like you heard sometime, no? Somewhere in dream. And what about Pragyaha? Pragyaha is karanam. Vishwa tajasav karyam. But what is Turiya Atma? Karya Karana Vilakshanaha Turiya Atma. Is it? The consciousness is distinct from the cause and the effect. Therefore, here what they say, there are people still see, you have to see the problem here. For them, the ultimate truth, the absolute reality, the God, the Lord is something external which is part of the objective world or which is within the realm of the objective world. What they are missing is they are not turning the attention towards the self. Always extroverted people looking for the truth outside. Oh, cause is the Lord. Cause is the ultimate. Effect is the cause and effect together form the Lord. Yes, still within for them, the objective world, isn't it? Which is within the realm of the material products, is the Lord for them. Then now comes last one. Srishti Riti Srishti Vidaha Laya Iti Chatad Vidaha Sthiti Riti Sthiti Vidaha Sthiti Riti Sthiti Vidaha Sarve Chehatu Sarvada He comes the last mantra, last verse of this in his list of confused people. He comes the last one. He talks about the cosmologists. Srishti Vidaha. The so-called cosmologists, they cannot keep quiet at all. What they do all the time, they want to know where has this universe, no? they say they want to find out the source of this origin. Therefore, they want to know the creation. They want to know when did the creation begin. How did the creation begin? Why did, this is how they very search is that. So the cosmologists try to find out the creation. But what happens? When Vedantin say there is no creation at all. When you understand the fact there is no creation at all, then will you ask the question, when did the creation begin? How did the creation begin? Will these questions be there? No. How did the creation begin? When did the creation begin? Etc. These questions will resolve if you understand the fact there is no creation at all. And to understand there is no creation at all, you need to go to the truth, isn't it? As long as you try to find the solution here, the cosmologist, what happens? The search will be endless search. And they try to discover something, they come out with something, and always that will be refuted by another scientist. Why? Because it is not the same. So Big Bang, of course, a good, really amazing research, no doubt about it. Even if you say something like that, what is Big Bang? Still, where is your search? Isn't it? Your searching and discovery of Big Bang theory can help you to change some, have some better. The scientific discoveries, the inventions, no? So, the knowledge of what is science, this invention is discovery of something within the realm of this material world, isn't it? Only what now? Only what mithya? It can only help you to improve your infrastructure, but improvement of infrastructure will not change our problem. You know, it is like, oh, you know, in my house, come and see, there's a snake here, there's a snake here. Because why this dim light? I mistook this wire for a snake. And then there's advice from somewhere. Oh, is there a snake? Yes, there's a snake. And I see it. I do see it. My God, it's also moving. No, I see it, the coiled form of the snake here. I'm so scared. I'm frightened. I'm shivering and trembling. I'm sweating. Don't worry. Don't sweat. Wipe your sweat and sit and sing some bhajans. Or get up and dance. Or study. You know, understand the equation E is equal to mc squared. Or why don't you meditate on snake itself? Or eat some cockroach. Or take some biscuits and eat. Or drink lots of water. Or lie down and sleep. Any of these solutions. Or read some novel. Divert attention from that. Read some magazine or watch some comedy scenes on YouTube. Doing anything, will it solve my problem? It's like that. Getting rid of fear is my problem, isn't it? Fear is my problem. I need to get rid of the fear. And that fear is caused by what? Snake. Not real snake. Is it? The Asdo snake. Therefore, the Asdo snake has to resolve. Only my fear will go. So, what is the solution? Knowing the truth is the solution. Isn't it? There is only wire. It is knowledge of the wire which alone will resolve. Anything other than that I do. It is knowledge of the truth will resolve. Any other action I do is irrelevant, useless, waste of time. Isn't it? With reference to what? With reference to, of course, I'm not saying singing and then dancing and all useless. With reference to this particular problem, no, as a solution, anything we do is useful only. There's nothing useless, but it is useless, no, if I try to find a solution for my problem. That is what he wants to say. Then, laya iti cha tadvidaha. Laya iti cha tadvidaha. These people are, they are the astronomers. Laya iti cha tadvidaha means, no, they always, after the dissolution of the universe, these people do not worry about when did the creation come. After the dissolution of the universe, what will happen? After deluge, what will happen? All these new age people are all sort of worried about it. Now, what will happen after? Now they don't, how did we come? Where did we come from? Is there a creation at all? If there is a creation, how did it come? Why did it come? When did it come? They don't think that way. Their thinking is, this should not dissolve. This universe should not go. There's going to be, you know, the whole universe will be, you know, the whole universe will dissolve, will be deluge. Dissolution, the whole universe will one day perish. So worried. And for which they are sitting and doing, practicing silence meditation all the time. You know why? Silence meditation means all of you have to go to the room. You can't hear any, the pin drop silence in the room. People, so many people walk in. Even cat walks, you can hear some sound. But these meditators, when they walk in, no noise. They just walk in, sit, and all that you know is, they smile at each other when they see. Suppose if I come first, I sit quietly and start meditating. On what? Silence. Suppose if I happen to open my eyes, suppose I happen to see Nina entering, that's all you have see. And when she sits and meditates, and we both are in meditation, other people come, we don't even know. And all of us sit, meditate. No, they send some time. And there'll be a time, and all of us get up, some little noise comes. Then we know the meditation is over. And then quietly go back. Take the car and go back. Don't even talk. And what they do? Light the big candle, come and sit around the candle. Silence meditation. Isn't it? Why? Because they're worried about what will happen if the universe will perish. They think the universe is going to perish. Isn't it? Now people, they are modern people. We had these people even before those days. They are layavidaha. They worried about the what will happen to the universe after the deluge. There are people who worried about why the universe has come. How did the universe come into existence? Now, next. Sthitiriti sthitividaha. Sthitiriti sthitividaha. Sarvecha ihatu sarvada. The sthitividaha, they are not worried about the, they are not like cosmologists, nor are they like this astronomers. For them, nothing has been created here. The sthitividaha are different people. They, for the Siddhi Vidaha, the people, they are also sort of materialists. Nothing has been created, so nothing can be destroyed. They are right. In one perspective, they are right. That is true. Nothing has been created, nothing is going to be destroyed. That is fine. Therefore, everything is going to be there continuously. That's fine. So, all the time analyzing that nothing has been created, nothing is going to be destroyed. What they forget is, they hold on to this fact that nothing has been created, nothing is going to be destroyed. And as they see, things keep changing, isn't it? They do see this relative destruction, they do see. Things are getting destroyed relatively. There's no absolute destruction. Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed, it's true. That's matter, isn't it? But evil, that is what is the ultimate for them. There's no creation of the matter, there's no destruction of the matter, there's only changing of the matter which is happening, which is the fact, which means they still, these people also, they don't stop with the fact about the matter, they do not turn attention, what is that which lends existence to this matter, they do not see. They're all great thinkers, no? For somebody to say nothing has been created, nothing is destroyed, is amazingly, highly thoughtful vision. This is fact, isn't it? But what they miss, even such great thoughtful people, great thinkers who have arrived at this fact, nothing is destroyed, nothing is created, there's no such thing called absolute destruction at all, even such people fail to see the truth being the subject, the truth of one's own self. Understand? Therefore, now all these people, now Gaudapada Acharya, he did not want to, actually Adishankara Bhagavatpada did not want to write anything, waste his time on these things. They are all people, why? Because all these people, for them, truth is an object. Reality is an object. God is an object. Even including the God, anything, if you say anything which is an object, is mithya. Understand? They miss that important thing is what truth is. Subject is the truth. The swarupam of the experiencer subject is the truth, not the experienced or anything which is within the realm of the experienced objective universe. You got it? What I'm saying? See, the analysis, the searches, even the scientists, they're all very good. No science is belittled here, degraded here. The discoveries, the inventions are wonderful. We do change our infrastructure definitely. But what happens is that is far different, isn't it? Because what they miss is the very reality. That is why now we mistake here. People see others now. If you see somebody in India, generally all the highly religious people have some sign on their forehead. You can see some people having three big lines like this. And they call themselves Vaishnavites. There are some people who put also Vibhuti, three lines like this. Now, either they have these lines like this or three lines are like this. And people who put these three lines across, you know, these people, our Swamis or some people, they put like this. So they're mistaken. Oh, you put these three lines like this, you know, not just straight lines, right? Put lines like this. Therefore, are you then Sai Vaishnavites? In fact, Advaitinaha, how should we take ourselves to be? Are we Sai Vaishnavites or are we Vaishnavites? Are which ites? We are not any ites, no? We have to understand. Atmavadinaha or Brahmavadinaha. Advaitins are Brahmavadinaha. Brahmavadis. Brahmavadis means what? For whom all that is here is only secondless, non-dual Brahman, and that Brahman is none other than one's own truth, one's own Swarupam, the content of I. Not only that, which means that content of I, what is the content of I is the content of the truth of everything else here. And for such people, Brahma, Brahma or Vishnu or Shiva are all three different names of the only Lord. Brahma is not an object Lord who is outside with four heads. Of course, personified, that is a different thing. Shiva is not a god somewhere outside. Vishnu is not the god somewhere outside who is different from this god. In fact, Brahma or Vishnu or Shiva, they are all three different functional names of the only Lord who is, whose Swarupam is none other than one's own Swarupam. They call Brahma Vadinaha. So this much he says. Now, last he says, Sarvecha Ihatu. So you remember this. So Srishtihi, the cosmologists, astronomers, then the materialists who say, who know this fact that matter is not created, not destroyed. So they hold on to that fact. It's a fact about the matter. But that is not the that is not the ultimate truth, isn't it? They still do not see the truth of the matter. What is the, which lends existence to that matter, they do not see. You got it? And he says, Sarvecha ihatu sarvada. All these people have been always here, no? Saying different things like this. Now he is going to really show, take off. He is going to take off. He is going to see how beautifully he is going to show the truth later on. Isn't it? That is going to come from later on. And here ends all these different confused views of even thoughtful people. Thinkers, great thinkers, were wrong in their concept of God, in their understanding of the reality. Okay, I'll give you a break. Go. And come. See, this is what the sampradaya is for. Why we need the traditional teaching. Everybody can simply use this word, consciousness. You are consciousness. And meditate, discover truth. You are already consciousness, you are already fullness, you are already happiness. What do you lack? There is no problem at all for you. This is simply people can say. So in sampradaya, what happens? You are not pushed fast to come to the conclusion, isn't it? You are step by step, you are made to see the limitations in thinking, the fallacies in thinking. You are shown. Otherwise, see, you may not have time to really go into details of what different philosophers say and all that. But these are all the philosophers, and these are all people who are given to the study of, you know, you can say the giants of their given field. Oh, grammar, Sankhya, you know, they're given any, you know, they're given to, the giants means that they have, in Tamil we say, Karaganda Puli. It means they have Parangataha, in Sanskrit we say, they mean they have thorough knowledge of that given discipline. Now, even every hair can speak what they have understood, which means the knowledge is so thorough, so highly intellectual, so that intellectual arrogance also is possible. Because of the authority they have, the mastery they have, and the it can be language, it can be any discipline. But still, the apara vidya is always validated by paravidya. It is the paravidya which validates the apara vidya. The apara vidya is supposed to take you to paravidya. What is paravidya? Aham Brahma Asmi, this vision, this ascertained knowledge is paravidya. This vidya is what? Mokshaha. This vritti jnanam alone is paravidya. And all these textbooks which serve as means of knowledge, they also come under what? The words of the Shastram, they all come under the category of aparavidya only. So, aparavidya is not belittled by Acharya. We shouldn't mistake here, because last week Marco had the doubt. Because people, my God, Patanjali Rishi, the yoga, great yoga philosopher, oh my God, how can you say he's wrong? Because we feel sort of, we don't feel comfortable. We are not saying he's wrong. Acharya here, Gaudapada Acharya, does not belittle them. That's what I wanted to say before I enter into the next topic of the proper teaching. Now, all these rishis and acharyas, with the due respect to their accomplishments in their given disciplines and the respective fields, they are said to be confused regarding this, seeing Bhagavan as an object, seeing the Lord as an object. Our truth for them is an object. Truth is for them in this objective world. As we always, disagreement is with the due respect. Which means, disagreement with due respect means what? Other person is not belittled. No, not disrespected. Disagreement is not disrespect. Disagreement with due respect. The due respect to the person, disagreement with that person's view of the truth. Because what they fail? If they fail to see the truth being the subject, they will, all their efforts will be vain. Their only efforts will be within the realm of the objective world, which will never put an end to this problem, solution, isn't it? The problem. Which means, the very fundamental problem itself is not understood, isn't it? Therefore, as a Vedanta Shastra, what it does, first thing, it shows the problem. It helps you recognize the problem first. Thereafter, it gives persons the solution, the knowledge as the solution. And that knowledge is of the truth is not an object. It is the very subject. And in the wake of knowledge of the truth as the very self, as Swarup of the subject, this entire objective world will be as good as non-existent. Now it is difficult to accept this. After knowledge, what happens? After the knowledge of the rope, I really see snake is not there. Will this universe be there afterwards or not? After the knowledge of the truth. After the knowledge of the truth, the universe will be. But the universe will be as good as the rope snake. Which means your perspective would have changed. Which means all these philosophers, you know, they say they are dependent on these external factors for their happiness and peace. Which means they say that we are, if they say these are, these factors are for them absolute and ultimate and great means, and for them what happens, Manav? They are superior to me. Superior means I am dependent on them. That is the problem. I am dependent on these external factors and which really govern my life, which determine my happiness and peace. My happiness and my peace is determined by these external factors, which means I am the victim of these external factors. I am a victim, I am afflicted, I am a slave of these external factors. When the truth is an object, you are this, you claim yourself to be the slave and the victim of that external object. Isn't it? Whereas in Vedanta, what does Vedanta say? You are the truth of everything. You are the master of everything. But in their view, I am a slave of everything. I'm victimized by all these external factors. They determine, they govern my life and my things. வாழ்க்கை காலத்தின் கையில். The astrologers write. Our life is in the hands of in the planets. கிரகங்களின் கையில். Astrologer writes, our life is in the hands of the planets. Which means the very expression says what? Our lives is completely, we have no say over anything. Completely they are determined, governed by everything means. Then we claim ourselves to be the victims of the problems caused by those positions and things. See, complete different vision, isn't it? Are you the slave? Are you the master? Or would you like to be the master? You would like to be the slave? No, I don't like to be a slave, but still I'm a slave. Why I'm a slave? Because I'm dependent on all these external factors. I'm a victim. I'm victimized by all these external situations and factors. But I'd like to be a master. But I'm not. That is why there's a constant effort to become the master. And any effort to become different from what you are, that you're trying to bring about a change within the realm of the material world will not change our stand at all. Will not change our condition at all. Isn't it? That's why I said that. I gave the example of singing, dancing, meditating, worshipping, etc. You know, having to get rid of the fear, having the snake behind, thinking there's a snake behind. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, Vedanta says, in fact, your any effort to become different from what you are is a waste of time. What you want to be, what you want to become, you are already. So you cannot become what you're already. That is the problem. That is why your effort to become what you want to be will always be a vain effort. Simply, Vedanta says, you are already what you want to become and what you want to be. All that you need to do is you need to take ownership of what you are already. You need to know, recognize, cognize, understand what you are already. That way you can take ownership of what you want to be. It's a being, not becoming. If you search for the solution externally, extrovertedly, you're, no, there's effort to become. You make effort to become. Instead, if you try to recognize yourself, you are already. You not become. Therefore, it is this knowledge, that is why it is very difficult for a person, even not given to much of thinking. We hardly have time to think about all this. We're so much involved with our, you know, our artha, kama, dharma pursuits are very important. But our time is spent mostly what? You know, to live the life. But in pursuit of, in pursuing artha, kama, dharmas itself, we are so struck there. There's not even no time for us to think of jnanam and moksha. Therefore, for us, this every situation that is happening here, everything that is around here, the whole world that we are experiencing here, all our experiences only reinforce our belief. Our wrong understanding that this world is so real for us. Isn't it? That is why he gives the example of that rope snake. You can't imagine what surprise and wonder it is to see the snake being completely resolved in the sight of the rope. And this universe, which is so real for you, will be as good as the rope snake. Now, in the wake of knowledge of the truth as yourself. Is it? The word that what he established, Turi Atma is the Satyam. So Shankara himself says, Padartha Vyakhyane Palgu Prayojana Vatvat Siddha Padarthatvat Cha Yatnaha Nakritaha. No, not much effort is not made here in writing the commentary on these verses. We just saw the literal meaning. There's no commentary on these verses. So we will go to the next verse. We'll read that. We'll explain it maybe next class. It needs good explanation of.
Yam bhavam darshayet yasya.
Yam bhavam darshayet yasya.
Tam bhavam.
Tam bhavam.
Satu pashyati.
Satu pashyati.
Tam chavati.
Sabhutvasau
Tad Brahma Samupaishitam Samupaititam Sad Tad Brahma Samupaititam Yam Bhavam Darshayed Yasya Tambhavam Satu Pashyati Tamchavati
samshavati
sabhutabhutvasau
sabhutvasau
tadbrahma samupaititam. Okay. Brahma.
Tadgraha.
Okay. Tadgraha. Okay. Okay. Tadgraha. You have. Okay. Grahaha, isn't it? Yeah. Two versions. Okay. Okay. Tadgrahas. If you say graha, you have to say grahaha. Grahas. Tadgrahas samupaititam.
Tadgrahas samupaititam.
Yam bhavam darshayed yasya.
Yam bhavam darshayed yasya.
Tam bhavam satu pasyati.
Tam bhavam satu pasyati.
Tam chavati sabhutvasau.
Tam chavati sabhutvasau.
Tadgrahas samupaititam.
Tadgrahas samupaititam.
Grahas samupaititam. Before I go here, you know the meaning of the word tattvam. Tattvam, tattvam, you know, tattvam in Tamil also we use this word. Tattvam, people simply say reality, the truth. So, truth, how do you get this word? Tasya bhavaha tattvam. Bhavaha means existence. Bhavaha means existence. So, tad, when you say that, the truth of everything is what? Tasya bhavaha, tasya bhavaha, tasya bhavaha, tasya bhavaha, tasya bhavaha. Isn't it? The truth of everything is tattvam. So, existence of everything is tattvam. Tasya bhavaha means the existence of everything, which is the truth of everything, is tattva. What is the existence of everything? That which lends existence to something is the existence. That which lends existence is the existence. What is existence, if you ask? Existence is that which lends existence. So that which lends existence is the truth. How do you understand? Let us see the example. Let us take a simple example of our water and the wave. See, what is that which lends existence to the name and form wave? Water, isn't it? What is that which lends existence to every other wave? The water. What is that which lends existence to the name and form ocean? The water. Therefore, bhavaha with reference to ocean is water. What is that which lends existence is the existence. That which lends existence is the existence. So, that which lends existence to the ocean and the waves is the existence of the ocean. Existence of the waves. What is the existence? Existence with reference to ocean is what? Water. Existence with reference to ocean is water. So, gold with reference to ornament, the existence with reference to ornament is gold. Existence with reference to furniture is wood. Why do you say called existence? Because even if I remove the name and the form, that which continues to exist is the existence. Remove the name and form ocean, there continues to be what? Water. That is the existence. We exist with reference to ocean. Is it clear now? Similarly, here, with reference to this entire universe. When you see the oceans, very easy, isn't it? Wave 1, wave 2, wave 3, wave 4, tasya bhavaha, tasya bhavaha, tasya bhavaha, tasya bhavaha. Existence of that wave, that wave, that wave, that wave is only one. With reference to ornament, it is easy to say tasya bhavaha. The existence of different varieties of ornaments is one. But here, the object you see here is what? Now, multifarious, isn't it? Living things. So, the existence of every living thing. The non-living things, existence of all the non-living things. Mobile beings, immobile beings, the visible forms, invisible forms, minute forms, tiniest forms, huge forms. So the true, the existence of all these things is one and the same. That's why tasya bhavaha tattvam. Why we say every object other than one's own self can be indicated by the pronoun that. Isn't it true? Every object can be indicated by is what? The pronoun that. You can't say I. Except the pronoun I, every other object can be indicated by the pronoun tad, that. So, tasya bhavaha means existence of that, that which lends existence to everything here is existence of that is what? Tattvam. And the existence of everything that is what? You. The truth of everything, that which lends existence to everything, that which is in the form of existence of everything, is in fact you. Therefore, you always first now be clear about the truth. You know? First of all, the chit has to become very clear. The consciousness being the truth of I, the reality of I, existence of I, content of I must become very clear. There is no such thing called I. There cannot be I without the consciousness. There cannot be this universe. This, if I say this, it implies what? These, that, those, all of them come under kind of one this. One this stands for these and those, everything. There cannot be those without the I. Those and these and those can't be there. And the I cannot be there without what? Without consciousness. They're not, isn't it? Therefore, this I is never distant from consciousness. Consciousness is never distant from anything. It non-distant, non-distanceable. Non-distant, ever inseparable, non-distanceable, non-distant reality. If we distance water, see, water from the wave, what will happen? The non-distanceable reality, isn't it? It only collapses. But water, one wave form will go. The wave form goes, what continues to be there? Water. Understand? Therefore, when the eye resolves, what is there? Consciousness. When this resolves, what is there? Consciousness. When the this is, when I am, I is, this is, what is there? Consciousness. Which means non-distancible, inseparable, non-distant, but distinct existence of everything is consciousness. Therefore, it is the truth of everything. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.